Church, how's everybody doing today? You look great. You look great. Before we get into our message, just a couple of little things. I wanted to congratulate somebody in our church whose name is Adam Jordan. And if you don't know Adam, you should know him. He's back here in the sound booth on the end. He heads up our media ministry, which how many of you enjoy looking at the screens and seeing the scriptures and the pictures? And I want you to know that's a lot of work. But Adam did something this week. I have to honor him because this is a great accomplishment. He earned his PhD from the University of Florida. Yeah. Give it up. Come on, give it up for Adam. Now, about a year ago, we celebrated his wife doing the same thing. So both in the family, they got a paradox in the family. But to me, anybody who can earn a PhD or a doctorate degree, my hat is off to you. But above and beyond that, to me, when I think about Adam, married two children, raising two children, works full-time, serves in the church immensely. All these slides, they take a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. He heads up this ministry. And he has been working on his PhD while doing all that. And when you see him every week, he's just the happiest guy. He's not all stressed out. So I have to say, it's a complete package. I mean, wow, it's just amazing. Adam, you are such an amazing guy. Give another hand for him and what he did. Serving, wow, just incredible. Definitely pat him on the back or take him out to lunch or something. I'm so excited about the Christmas party coming up. You know what? Because it's a family affair. We have our earthly families and we have our spiritual family right here, right? And I know with my family, we get together at Christmas. I see people that I haven't seen, for a while because it's a family thing. And it's also a family thing for our church. Amen? So I want you to be looking towards that. Think about that. Like you said, sign up online. And what I want to encourage you to do ahead of time is at the Christmas party, get to know somebody in the church that you see their face, but you don't really know them. Had this happen this week. I mentioned somebody, so-and-so, and the person said, well, who is that? We're not a huge church, but even at the size we are, there's people that you don't know. So to me, the Christmas party is going to be a time to celebrate Christ, because that's what Christmas, Christes Masse, from the Latin celebration of the anointed one. So I don't know about you, but I love Christmas. I love the whole season. We're going to kick it off as a church the first Sunday in December. Let's all try to come together as a family, bring your favorite dish, but especially get to know somebody that you don't know that well in the church. It's going to be a great family time. All right, in your worship guide, there are some sermon notes that will help you along as I go through the message today and enable you to take these home with you and live some of this stuff out. It just reinforces the power of the message. If you need an extra copy, raise your hand. The ushers have some extra copies they'd love to give you. I see some hands over here. I see that hand. God bless you. Before I get into the message, there was this mother was fixing breakfast for her two sons, Ryan and Eric. Ryan's 5, Eric's 3. And as she's cooking the first pancake, the two of them get in a fight over who's going to get the first pancake. So she thinks, well, this is a good opportunity. They're new Christians, and she this is a good opportunity to teach a spiritual lesson. And she turns around and she goes, boys. She said, what would Jesus do? They just look at her. She says, Jesus would say, give my brother the first pancake. She turns around, starts cooking, and they're both silent for a little while. And then Ryan looks at Eric and said, Eric, you be Jesus. I want to talk to you today about the God dream within. Last week, the message was the Christ life within. I got a lot of great feedback on that message, and just thinking about how the fact that the Christian life is on the inside. Jesus said the kingdom of God is what? Within you. It goes from the inside out. It's an opposite kind of kingdom from the world. The world, everything is from the outside in. We judge people by how they look on the outside. God works from the inside out. And when he looks at people, he looks at their heart. And that's why it's so hard to judge people, why we shouldn't even judge people, because we can't see their heart. But so we believe the best in people. But when God works on us and he changes us for the better, God is always working on you. And the work that he's doing is to change us, but it's always to change you for the better. Never to stay the same, definitely not to get worse, but he's changing us for the better. And that work takes place on the inside of us. He works in our spirit, in our soul, in our mind, in our emotions, in our desires. As God, the Bible says, God who is at work in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You see, he starts with the will and then it ends up with the do. He's working on the inside of you. So today I want to talk about the God dream on the inside of you. It's very important. It's important to develop the Christ life within, which I talked about last week. But it's important to find and develop the God dream on the inside of you. And not every dream is a God dream, but sometimes we don't even have a dream. Sometimes we have too many dreams. The main thing is to find the God dream, because God has a dream in his heart, in his mind for you. Look with me here at this verse. Jeremiah 29 talks about this very concept here. God dreams. God dreams are important. It's important to have a God dream within. Do you have a God dream on the inside of you today? By the time we get done today, I hope you'll be able to identify that, or at least start working on that. I'm going to give you some tools and some steps to develop and fulfill the God dream. John Osteen, Joel's father, used to say how great it is to dream the dream when you stand in youth at the starry stream, but a greater thing is to live life through and to say in the end, the dreams come true. Jeremiah 29 says this, God speaking to you. He's no respecter of persons. He was saying this to Jeremiah, but he would say it to you. Is this true for you? He put it in the Bible for you. Otherwise, he just would have said it privately to Jeremiah, but he put it in Scripture because this is a truth. This is a principle. He says this, so just read it for yourself. For I know the plans. I don't know if you like to underline your Bible or highlight in your notes, but in your notes it won't be, you know, that risky. But if you would, I want you to underline the word plans every time it comes up in this one verse of Scripture. I know the plans that I have for you right there, and just put your name right there. It's talking about you. I know the plans that I have for you. Who's saying this? Declares the Lord. Plans, there it is again, plans to hurt you, to impoverish you, to make you miserable. As the devil tells us, that's God's plan. And that's what kept me from going to that Bible study for 2 years. My aunt kept inviting me because I thought God had bad plans for me. That's the devil. Whenever you think God has a bad plan for you, God's trying to hurt you, God's trying to hold you back, that's not what the Bible says. He said plans to prosper you. To prosper means to advance toward your goal. So you got to have a goal. You want to prosper, but you got to have the right goal. And his plans are to prosper you, to help you on this journey, to move toward the goal, the plan, the purpose, the destiny that he has for your life. Don't let the devil steal it. Don't let him rob you. Don't let him divert you and get you chasing after stuff that's not important, because the devil will do all those things. He doesn't really care what you do as long as it's not God's plan for your life. That's true. A compass heading has 360 points, and I look at it like this. God has a compass heading for me, and the devil doesn't care which of the other 359 points of the compass I go, just as long as I don't hit that one that God has for me. That's the devil's plan, but the devil has plans for you too, and his whole plan is just so that you don't fulfill God's plan, because that's where you're a threat to him. But God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. So if you get thoughts that God's trying to kill you, trying to hurt you, trying to beat you down, I'm not saying there aren't things that we have to persevere through, but when you think God is the problem, that's a problem. Because God ain't the problem. He only loves you. He only cares about you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Right there, he clears it up right there. So when the devil tells you God's doing this to try to teach you something, say, that's not God. He doesn't want to harm me. Stuff comes against me every day. I don't know about you. We live on a fallen planet. It's under a curse. There's sin. There's sickness. There's disease. There's death. There's pain, right? We're going to face it in life. But God's plans are to prosper us, not to harm us, not to harm you. Plans, there it is the third time. Three times in the same verse. Plans, plans, plans. God has plans. Huh? I think of plans. I think of plans to a building. I'm sure there's other ways to illustrate this. But I've seen building plans before. I don't know if you've ever seen them. They're big sheets of paper like this. And there's many, many pages. And this is the plans. If you want someone to build your house or build a building, you have to start with. You don't go hire a builder and say, build me a building. First thing he says, where's the plans? I got to have some plans. The plans is not the building. It's a picture of what the building is going to look like if you work the plan. Plans is in the future. Plans is a picture of what you want. Plans is like hope in your heart. So the Bible says, now faith is the assurance of things what? Hope. Hope. So to me, hope is like the plans. Faith is the contractor who takes the plans and brings them into reality. So you have to have both. But if you just hire a contractor, if you just have faith and you have no hope, you have nothing. If you have hope and no contractor, you have nothing. So if you have hope and no faith, you have nothing. If you have hope and faith, you have the reality. Does that make sense to you? This is what God's saying here. I know I've got plans for your life, master plans, awesome plans. And when you look at these plans, they're incredible detail. Every brick, every wire, every screw is named out in these plans. That's why there's some. And God has that kind of a plan for your life, intricate details, everything that you face, he's concerned with it. And he has, he saw it coming. Nothing takes God by surprise. He knows what he wants to do in your life. He knew what the world would throw at you, and he already had a sheet in his plans to handle that, to get you through that. But you have to apply faith to the hope, to the plans, to get through what you're going through that's keeping you from going where you need to go. Because there will always be opposition. If it's a God plan, there will be a devil plan. Always. Look at the life of Paul. God sent an angel and appeared to him and said, go to Macedonia. And boy, all hell literally broke loose to keep him from getting there. Because the devil knew it was God's plan, and he tries to stop. But he couldn't stop Paul, and he can't stop you unless you believe his lies and you say, no, no, God doesn't want me to go there. Then you don't go there. Or this obstacle is too big. I can't get across this mountain. Isn't that why he said in Mark 11, if there's a mountain in your way, speak to it and get it out of your way, because I need you to go where I need you to go. I need you to do what I need you to do, because I've got plans. He's got plans for you. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and the future. Hope is always in the future. You got to have hope. Plans are for the future. God has a plan for your future. You say, well, I'm 95 years old. If you're breathing, he still has plans for your future today. That's why you're breathing. Do you know there's generational anointing? There's decade anointing, I believe. And you say, well, I'm 80, I'm 90. You know what? There's an anointing. You get a greater anointing the longer you're in this thing. We need the Fernandos. How old are you, Fernando? 90! He's got the 90-year anointing. I don't have that. I need his anointing. I need to hear what God showed him in 90 years of being on this earth. You young people at the Christmas banquet, you ought to all be around Fernando and say, tell us, Fernando, what was it like? Tell us your story. Tell us your story. I regret that I didn't pull more out of my dad before he died, but toward his later years, I did that. Tell me your story, Dad. Tell me. I want to hear your story. I learned a lot of things. You could learn a lot of things from people that have been through some stuff. Come on, young people. Hang around the older people and get some of their anointing on you. I don't care how old you are. You're moving into a greater anointing. Come on. Every year, you ought to get stronger, wiser. The God dream is always positive. Look at this, Proverbs 25:2. It's a very important principle to understand, because you say, I want to hear the voice of God. Oh, I wish God would be more clear. I wish God would just tell me. I wish he'd just write it down and hand me a piece of paper and tell me what to do. Here's how it works, folks. Proverbs 25:2. It says this. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. Let's look at the whole verse, then we'll pick it apart. Conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. What is he saying there? You don't hide something because you don't want it. You hide it so nobody else gets it. You hide it because you do want it and it's precious. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. Now, the whole thing about this God dream, it goes back to last week, the Christ life. The only way to find your God dream is not written in a book. I can't give it to you. Your mama can't give it to you. It requires you to have a relationship with God, because remember, the kingdom of God is knowing God and helping others to know God. So that's why, in order to fulfill your dream, you can't, he won't just give it to you on a piece of paper. It requires an intimacy with the Lord, because then you won't ruin the dream. You won't mess up the dream. You won't do it for your own purposes, because you've got the heart of God. And that's so he is ensured in this whole system, is that I have to pursue a relationship with God. And through that relationship with God, he uncovers the dream. It's the glory, back to that verse there, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. He has concealed your dream. He's hidden the plans, that big plans. He folded all up and he's hidden it. And he says, do you want it? Do you really want to know? How bad do you want to know? What are you going to do with it when you find it? You got to seek me. I want the plans. No, he doesn't really want you seeking the plans. He wants you seeking him. And when you seek him, he'll show you the plans. See, because then we'd worship plans. He don't want us worshiping plans. He don't even want us worshiping our destiny. He wants us worshiping him. But when you worship him, he'll give you the plans. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings, that's you. You're a king. The Bible says you're a priest, you're a prophet, and a king. Priests minister to God. Prophets understand what's going to happen. Kings rule and reign. Christians receive all those three titles in the Christian life through the cross. So when it says the glory of kings is talking about you as a believer in Christ, it is your glory. It brings you glory when you spend time with God and he begins to show you the plan. Some of you, I don't know if you're getting it. It's got to sink in. But I'm telling you something here today that I think is very important. Now look at Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith, or what is the faith? Faith is the builder. What is the plans? It's the hope. The plans are the hope, right? So you got to have both. Now, here's what it says, Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the assurance of what? Things hoped for. Huh? So you got to know what to hope for. Hope is always positive. God always has good plans. So the kings go to the King of Kings and find out what the plans are, and then you see the plans, and then you hook your faith to it to bring it into reality. Just like plans on earth. The architect draws up the plans. The builder takes the plans and he puts the stuff together, and then you have a building. You will fulfill your destiny when you put all of this together that I'm talking about. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. Anybody that did anything for God did it the same way. This is how the men and women of old in the Bible, this is how they got in the Bible, this is how they got these accolades and accomplished these miracles and did these things, the same way as me and you. Faith and hope put together. So I want to encourage you, I'm going to give you seven steps, and not yet, but I want to encourage you to write down, start writing down what the Holy Spirit tells you. Now, some people get these very intricate and detailed plans. I usually work more with general plans. So it depends on the individual. I mean, your plan might be very general. I just want to get over this sickness. I just want to get out of debt. It might be very general, but those are scriptural principles that he has for you. But as you walk in the general, he begins to give you more specifics as you go forward. But I would encourage you, as you spend time with God, that you begin to write down. Now here it is, Habakkuk chapter 2, that explains it like this. Habakkuk 2:2. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision, inscribe it on tablets. In other words, write it down. Write it down. Write it down. Why? Because the devil wants to steal it, and because you need to see it. And That's why we take notes, because scientifically, if you hear in lecture, and they've done these in universities, if you hear a lecture, and if you write down what they say, you will remember twice as much as if you don't write down what they say. And God says, write it down, inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. Now watch it. He's going to tell us something about the God dream. He's going to tell us something about it that will help you. Watch this. The one who reads it may run. For the vision, what's the vision? A vision is a view of the future. That's what hope is. Hope is a view of the future. The plans are a view of the future. It's a vision. This is what I want our building to look like, okay? For the vision, or the hope, or the God dream, is yet for the appointed time. Honestly, this is the part that I don't like, is that it has an appointed time, and he set the time and not me. It never happens. Let me just give you a little help here. It never happens as fast as you want it to happen. It never comes as quick as you want it to come. It never happens when you think it should happen and when you tell God it should happen. So be careful about giving God a time limit on this thing happening. Just get the dream and stay with it till when? Till it comes. Because you usually give up right before the breakthrough. That's had it. I've had it. That's it. I've waited long enough. I feel that almost every day. That's it. I've had it. No. Don't give up. Because why? The vision awaits the appointed time. There's an appointed time. There's a special time. God's got the time figured out. We don't. That's the hard part. I'll be honest with you. That's the hard part, is waiting. You can get the plan. You can't change the appointment. The one who reads it may run, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal. It's coming, and we think it's not happening, but it is, because it's going on and behind the scenes and things that you can't see in the spirit realm. It hastens toward the goal, and watch this, it will not fail. That's what you have to say. It will not fail. No, it will not fail. Devil says, no, it's not going to happen. You say, no, it will not fail. Though it tarries, and I guarantee you, it tarries. Watch this. Wait for it. That's what it says. Though it tarries, what do I do? Wait for it. I don't like this. I don't even like waiting at Publix. I look for 10 items or less. So those kind of like, there's four of them, but there's one really. They're all the same. I'm going to go through the, I don't like the lines. I don't like that. That's why I don't go to Disney World, because I don't want to pay $100 to stand in line. Come on. I don't like standing in line at Publix. And the Bible says, wait for it. Come on, God. Yeah, something developed in your character when you have to wait for it, and you have to wait for it. You will have to wait for it, and that's what it says. Wait for it, but watch this. It will certainly come. It will not delay. It won't delay. It's not slow. It's just not the appointed time. Yeah. Maybe your God dream is something very scriptural but very simple like this: to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Is that Bible? 3 John 2, beloved, I desire above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Maybe that's a good starting point. I don't know. You got to get your own God dream. But God dreams are always good. They're always positive. Okay, you need a dream, and usually the dream of God is very big, because nothing is too difficult for God. All things are possible with God. Now, I'm going to talk to you in a few minutes about how to figure out if the dream that you already have is a God dream or a not dream. Are all dreams God dreams? No, they're not. You have me dreams. You have mama's dreams. You have daddy's dreams. You have Uncle Joe's dreams. You have your friend's dreams. You have your peer's dreams. You got the high school dreams. You got the selfish dreams. You got bad dreams. And then in there someplace, but still concealed, is the God dream. But that's the only dream you want to go after. So to really pursue the God dream, you got to filter out all these other dreams that will compete with the God dream. So this is very important. James chapter 4, verse 2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. I'll just ask. But watch this. You ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. So those are the bad dreams, the wrong dreams, the me dreams, because it's all about me. Now I'm going to give you 7 conditions for a God dream, and this is going to help you right here. A God dream will not be a me dream. It will not be a self dream. It will not be about my pleasures. You see this happen when Jesus was talking to Peter, just how real it is. I'm so glad Jesus used ordinary people. Huh? He could have picked the top Pharisee, the top Sadducee, the top lawgiver, someone from the Sanhedrin, the top priest. No, he just picked this one. He just went, got some fishermen. He got some tax collectors. He just got some ordinary people, some people that had issues. That's, you know what I like? All his disciples had issues. I said, that's okay, I'm a good candidate right there. But you know what? Everybody's got issues. Yeah, some people have more issues than Sports Illustrated, but everybody's got issues. I got issues, you got issues, all God's children got issues. But that's okay. God likes to work with people that have issues because he uses our issues to humble us, to be dependent on him. He likes people that have issues. He said, I can work with that issue. Look at all his disciples. They had issues, and he loved them, and he worked with them. So here's this guy, Peter, one of the top disciples. How many know Peter's got some issues? So in Matthew 16, he gives us, who do you say that I am? He asks the disciples. And somebody says this, and somebody says that. And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay, this is the same chapter, right? He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. And I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And like 4, 5, 6 verses later, here we are, Matthew. So it's 5 verses later. And Jesus, talking to Peter, says this. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Peter called him Satan. Jesus called Peter Satan right after he had this huge revelation. I don't know about you, but I identified that. Sometimes I think I'm so great and I did all this, and then next day I do something really stupid. Anybody else ever thought you were so great and then you did something stupid? You're in good company with Peter, and Jesus loved Peter because he likes taking broken people and healing them and using them for his glory. But Peter turned to Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. For here's a problem. Here's something to check on your dream. Here's the problem with what Peter said. You're a stumbling block to me because you're not setting your mind on God's interests but man's. Sometimes the dreams that we bring to God and ask him to bless, it's man's. Man's plans, man's interests. We got to be careful and ask, do I fit this? You're not setting your mind on God's interests. So a God dream will set you toward God's interests. You need a God dream. So now I'm going to give you the 7 qualities of a God dream. They're going to be up on the overhead, but they're also written in your notes because they're that important, so you can take notes on the notes. But I have them already written down for you, so don't worry about having to copy them down. So 7 qualities of a God dream. Number 1, it is beyond what you can do in your own strength. If your dream is something that you can accomplish in your own strength, it is not a God dream. It'll always require the supernatural. It'll always be above and beyond what you can do. If you're just looking at somebody else's life and say, I can do that, maybe it's partly a God dream, but it's never completely a God dream until it's impossible for you to do and you're dependent upon God. The first quality of a God dream is it is beyond what you can do in your own strength. 2, the second quality of a God dream, it will always stretch you out of your comfort zone. It'll make you do something you don't want to do. It will cause you to overcome a fear. It will cause you to grow. It will cause you to change. It will cause you to die to some area of life. It will always take you. It will always stretch you out of your comfort zone. We try to sit in our comfort zone and ask God to bring everything to me right here in my comfort zone. I ain't getting out of my comfort zone. Come on, Jesus, what are you doing? Bring it all. And he's trying to get us out of our comfort zone. Usually your greatest gifting and your greatest strength at this point in your life or at some point in your life is your greatest fear. Because the devil knows how God wants to use you, and he sees to it that stumbling blocks and offenses come into your life that put up defenses and barriers in the exact area that God wants you to succeed in. That's why you go to the Freedom Group. So you unveil those things and go, aha, that's where the devil's been after me and keeping me. And you deal with that and you get healed, and then you can get out of that comfort zone, which is really a defensive posture to stay where I'm at and to protect my weaknesses. He's trying to get you out of that and make that weakness your strength. Yep. I'm telling you, I told you how I was afraid to speak even as a child in class. And the first time I was standing out in a group when we went to start a church in L.A., and my pastor was out there preaching, and I knew in my heart that I was supposed to pick up where he left off, and I couldn't do it because of fear, and it made me so mad, and God showed me how to break that fear. Otherwise, I wouldn't be standing up here today. Otherwise, it would have been hundreds of people that I shared with and witnessed to, and over the years, thousands of people have received the gospel by me just being obedient, but that was something that the devil put up, a fear. And if I'd have just said, oh, no, 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 and I actually had a theological reason why I shouldn't do that, and all it was to keep me in my comfort zone. But God will find a way to get you out of your comfort zone. Number three quality of a God dream is this, that it requires faith. It always requires faith. Here it is, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says this, and without faith it's impossible to please him. So the God dream is God's dream that he has for you, your life. So what? It pleases God. It would please God if you fulfilled the plans that he has for you, right? And it says right here, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So the God dream will require faith. It will require you pulling something from the unseen to the seen. Yeah. That's what faith is. It's the assurance of things hoped for. They're ethereal. They're out there. It's just an idea. It's just a concept. All right, and the faith builds it and makes a reality out of it. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So your God dream is not going to work without faith. He who comes to God must believe that he is all that, he is God all by himself, must believe that he is, and that, look, you got to believe this. Meditate on this verse constantly. He is a rewarder of those who seek him. He's not a punisher. He's not trying to beat you up. He's not trying to make your life miserable. He's a rewarder of those who seek. The more you seek him, the more he wants you. But it doesn't look like that. It waits the appointed time. Don't give up. Wait. Remember the wait part. He's a rewarder. That's what faith is. Faith says God is all that he says he is, and he's good all the time, and he's going to do for me what he said he's going to do. A God dream always pleases God. Two things I see throughout Scripture from the beginning to end that please God are just two things, faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. You see it continually. What pleases God? Faith and obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Faith and obedience, they please God. Number four, the fourth quality of a God dream is this. It requires the assistance of others. It always, yes. No, I don't need anybody. No, that's your issue right there. You say that because you got an issue, because you've been hurt. And God has constructed the kingdom of God in such a way that you're not all that by yourself. We need each other. The Bible says that the body of Christ, he's working through his church, which is his body. That's what God's doing in the earth. And he says we are like this, an eye, an ear, a hand, a foot. And what is that? The eye cannot survive by itself. It's not complete in itself. The eye needs the eyelid, and it needs the optic nerve. The hand needs the arm. The foot needs the leg. We need each other. So if your dream says that you're going to do this all by yourself, that's not a God dream. I guarantee you it's not a God dream. You will always need someone else, because no man is an island. I just got that this week. I don't know. Maybe y'all already knew that, but I've heard that, right? You're not an island. You're not. And I thought, we're not an island, me, myself, and I. No, we're not. We need God. It's not all me. That's the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. We need to hook in with God, the holy trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and realize I'm just a small part of this. No man is an island. You are not all that all by yourself. We're better together. It takes teamwork. No person is a church. We are all part of the church. We need everybody. We need people in the nursery. We need people in the sound booth. We need people in the parking lot. We need greeters. We need musicians. They're all different. Together, we make the body of Christ, and that's what God is doing in the earth today. So no, your dream requires the assistance of others always. That's number four. Number five, the fifth quality of a God dream is that it glorifies God. It will always glorify God. It has to be some component. If you can't see how this dream glorifies God, it's not a God's dream. These are all tests to test your dream, to test whether it's a God dream. It always glorifies God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether then you eat or drink Or whatever you do, underline that. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do. And you say, well, you know, and listen, if you can't do something for the glory of God, maybe you shouldn't be doing it. I'm telling you. If you think, well, I don't know about this. So, well, maybe you should not know about this. Maybe you should think about this. Maybe let everything, whatever you do, do for the glory of God. So your God dream will bring glory to God. Because you know what? It's all about Him. It's not about me. It's not even about us. It's all about Him. We're here together to worship His name, our Father who art in heaven. It's all about Him, and a God dream is all about Him, and the God dream brings the glory. And if your thing is, well, I want to get to this, so I'm famous, I don't think that's a God dream. He might want you famous, but if that's your goal, then that's not a God dream. It ought to be, I want to make God famous. That's what I love about Tim Tebow. He always gives the glory to God. And he's done some great things, but the first thing, and Danny Werfel used to do the same thing. He used to always point to heaven, give the glory to God. That ought to be in our DNA and in our life. Get it into the fabric of our life. Always give glory to God. Somebody gives you a compliment, you don't always have to say, well, I give. But in your heart, you ought to just say, oh, thank you, God. I was able to bless somebody. Thank you, God. And don't take it to yourself and go, oh, yeah, I'm all that. That's a pitfall. That's a problem. That's going to get you in trouble. A God dream, number 5, glorifies God, always glorifies God. Number 6, God dream brings you closer to God. A God dream will always bring you closer to God. It will never take you away from God. Yes, God's whole desire is to be close to you. Look at this in James chapter 4. I love this. It's called the law of the draw. It says this, draw near to God through His word. God, draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. See, sometimes, well, the harder I try to get to know, it seems like He's pulling away from me. No, that's not possible, because the Bible says this is how it works. Draw near to God, He'll draw to you. You take a step toward God, He takes 2 steps towards you. That's what the Bible says. Draw near to God. A God dream will always bring you closer to God. It'll make you dependent upon God. It'll cause you to get closer to God. Even just finding it causes you to draw near to God. Draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So you think about those, whether there's something keeping you from getting closer to God. Get it out of the way. But then it's still this process. Draw every day. Draw near to God. What are you doing in your daily schedule to draw closer to God every day? And every day you draw closer to Him, He'll draw closer to you. A God dream always brings you closer to God, right? And number 7, the 7th quality of a God dream is this. It brings others closer to God. If your dream doesn't result in other people coming close to God, then it's a selfish dream. It's not a God dream. It's a you dream. Maybe there's a component missing. Maybe it's an impartial dream. You need to figure out how. But a God dream will always, in the end, that's why it's number 7, will always result in others coming closer to God. Because that's the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? 2 things. 1, knowing God. And 2, does anybody know what it is? Helping others. No, this is the kingdom of God. This is how it works. They asked Jesus, tell us, how does it work? He said, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So the first commandment is to love God. How do you love your neighbor as yourself? He said, love you as yourself. He told you yourself to love God. So you help your neighbor love God. So kingdom of God is knowing God. You when you know God, you love God. You love God, you know God. Knowing God, this is the kingdom of God. This is how simple it is. 2 things you ought to think about every day. What am I doing to know God better? And what am I doing to help others know God? Because that is the Great Commission, to help others know God. A God dream will always do these 2 things. It will cause you to know God and will help you to help others know God. A kingdom dream will always accomplish kingdom goals and will always fulfill loving your neighbor as yourself. Here's the last words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew's gospel, I love Matthew's gospel, I love the whole New Testament, I love the whole Bible, but Matthew's gospel, it just speaks to me a lot. And then this last chapter, he's after he dies, he goes to the cross, he's buried, he rises from the dead, he's 40 days, he reveals himself to the disciples. And this, he's the last words before he ascends into heaven, and these are the last verses, the last 2 verses that I've of the book of Matthew. Here's what it says. Jesus came up to them and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. So when you see a therefore, find out what it's there for. He said, I got the authority. So he's given you the authority. He to give. We go in his name. That's why you do stuff in his name. Go therefore, and what are we supposed to do? What are disciples supposed to do? Go therefore, and what? Make disciples. Where? All nations. See, because they might have thought, well, we just got to convert Israel. No, all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We're going to do that. Today we're going to baptize somebody. Next week we're going to baptize two more people. If you've never been water baptized since you made your profession of faith, you need to be water baptized. It's simply just a step in your journey with God. And it's just very simple. You can be baptized next week. Would you? Just real simple. Just see somebody after the service. Say, hey, I want to get baptized in the baptism next week. So what are we supposed to do? Make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I commanded you. And look at this. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You want to be closer to Jesus? Help somebody else get closer to Jesus. Yeah. See, that's why I said the kingdom of God is knowing God and helping others know God. When you help others know God, what happens? You know God. Lo, I'm with you always. I'm with who? Who's doing the Great Commission? You can't get away from the fact it's the commission. He's commissioned the church to do this. I want to tell you a little story about, last week I told you about Tegan's story. It was such an incredible story of the things that she went through in her life, how she overcame, because somebody invited her. What happened? Somebody invited her. His name is Dustin. Dustin's over here. Dustin kept inviting her to church. She finally came, and then she had a breakthrough in her life, and everything changed. She got out of a bad situation. God turned her life around. She went from this bad condition to believing for things. She believed for a job. She got a good job. If you weren't here last week, I'm just giving you the quick shot of this. She believed for God, a job. She got the job. And then she believed for a car. She got a car. She believed for a house. And she just closed on her house a few weeks ago. God's doing great things. And it all happened because somebody kept inviting her. She told me, she said, I only went because he wouldn't leave me alone. Somebody in your life you need to not leave alone, because the consequences are too great of where they're going and what's going on in their life. They need God in their life. Dustin, he was in our youth group many years ago. And when he got out of high school, he joined the Army. He spent 7 years in the Army. He became a sergeant in the Army. He spent years in Afghanistan serving our country. And then when he got out, he came back to church down where we were in Micanopy. And he told me, he says, I want to be used of God. What do I need to do? So I don't know exactly what the plan God has for your life, but I know that it's just get involved in the church, just start doing things. And it's just like I tell you, how do you help people? You invite them to church, you get on a team, and you tell your story. Yeah. So Dustin was doing those things. He kept inviting her. He got on a team. He headed up our ushers for a long time. He told his story to Tegan, and Tegan finally came. So he wanted to be used of God, would you think of him as a minister? Yes, he's a minister. You know what? You're all called to minister. We're all ministers. If you're a Christian, you're a minister. You're supposed to minister. You're supposed to help people find and fulfill their destiny. So Dustin, he was used of God because he invited Tegan. We have Tegan's story. And further than that, there's two people getting baptized next week, Travis and Emily, because Dustin kept inviting them to church, and they came about a month ago. The both of them came, and they both raised their hand and gave their life to the Lord, and they're not able to be here. They're out of town this week, but next week they're getting water baptized. And go ahead, give the Lord a hand. So when Dustin got out of the Army, he was telling me, he said, he didn't use these words, but in essence, he's saying, I have a God dream. I want to help people. I want to know what to do with my life. He's told me this. He said, in the Army, I always knew what to do. We were always on a mission. And I think that maybe is why he's so determined, because he understands the missional part of the kingdom, because he was on a mission for our country in the Army. Sometimes we forget the church is an army. It's a body, it's a family, it's a bride, it's a home. We see those things. But it also is an army, because we have an enemy and we're on a mission to rescue people from the hands of the enemy. So Dustin, I think he got that from the Army. Maybe we all need to pick up a little bit of that army atmosphere. No, there's an enemy out there trying to eat your friend's lunch and eat their life. And I need to risk my reputation, risk go against my comfort and invite them. How comfortable is that to keep inviting somebody and they keep turning you down? They don't show up for a year, almost 2 years. But he didn't give up. Why? Because the consequences are too great. People in your life, the consequences are too great for you to do nothing and be ashamed and be afraid. You got to have that army mentality that Dustin had, where I'm going to reach out to this person. I'm going to invite him. And lives are changed. And we could go through different people that have done that. But part of a God dream will always involve somebody else's spiritual welfare. True biblical leadership is the ability to influence somebody to move in a God-honoring direction, helping somebody to know God. And you know what? Dustin told me it was okay to share some of this stuff with you. Life hasn't been easy. And you say, well, that's easy for Dustin because, you know, he's just got it made. He's actually had some rough stuff go on in his life. Even after the Army, he had to go through a divorce, and it was very challenging, and a child custody battle, and that, and some, you know, it was tough. You know, I walked through with some of that stuff, and you know, it was tough. And during that same time, he was living with his brother, and his brother falsely accused him of some stuff and had him put in jail. His brother had him put in jail. Eventually, the charges were dismissed because they were spurious, but imagine going through that. You're going through a custody battle, you're going through a divorce, your heart, and then because he got put in jail, it made it even harder to get the custody that he wanted. It made him look like a bad person until he got that clear. He's going through all this, and then that same brother, that they reconciled, they got it straightened out. Then that same brother, he obviously had some issues in his life. He took his life. His brother took his own life. How hard is that on you to go through all that? And what I'm saying is, during all that, he's inviting Tegan to come to church. It could have been easy to say, I can't do anything for God. I got my own problems. I mean, you know, that's some problems to deal with. And he had a lot of things that were pressing on him that could have just made him completely introspective and say, One day I'll be used of God when I get my situation sorted out. Listen, if you wait till you get everything sorted out, you will never, ever be used of God on this planet, because we'll never, ever arrive. We always got something we're working through. And Dustin's in a good place right now. I mean, he's not floating through life on flowery beds of ease, but he's got through all that stuff. And I believe he's in a good place because he refused to be introspective. He looked out and reached out to some other people. And God said, if you'll help others, I'll help you. I'll take care of your stuff. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. That's how it works. That's how a God dream works. You have somebody else. We're going to reach out to somebody else. Ministry is simply helping others to know. Don't sit here today and say, someday I'll be in the ministry. Today, you are in the ministry. If you're in the kingdom of God, it's all ministry. Did anybody get anything out of this today? I want to talk. Let's pray. Let's pray. I just want you to think about something. How is your God dream within? How's your God dream within? How's it going right now? How's your God dream within? Before we get up and move around and stir, I want to challenge you on something. I want to challenge you to write down. Write it down today. Today's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. It's a special day. Today, can you sit down and spend some time with God and start defining your God dream? Write it down. And then check it against these seven qualities. They're in your notes. Get the notes. If you didn't get one, pick one up before you go. And you know what? I believe that as we do this, we can literally change the world. How many believe that? We can change the world. We can change the world if we all fulfill our God-given destiny, if we all live out our God dream. Father, I pray for everybody that's here today. I ask you to spark up that God dream on the inside of them. I also ask you to help them put down the me dreams, the non-God dreams, the other dreams, the people dreams, the stuff dreams, the world dreams. Help us to put down the other dreams so that only your dream stands up there by itself. Help every one of us in this room right now to define our God dream, our God purpose, why we were put on this planet. We're here for a reason. We're here for divine design. Thank you, Jesus. I just ask you to speak to every person. Ignite us, fill us, help us do what you called us to do, Lord God. Help us not to only be consumed with our own problems like Dustin could have been. We all have our problems, maybe worse, maybe less, but we all have our problems. Help us to, in the midst of having our own problems, try to help somebody else solve their problem. Thank you, Jesus. I ask you to speak to every one of us. As we have moved our church building into Gainesville, help us to reach the people that are around us. According to statistics, there's almost 200,000 people in our county that don't know you. God, give us a heart for them. Give us a burden for them. I know your dream in our life includes those people around us that we work with, that we play with, that we live with, that are around us in our families. Show us what we can do. Help us to be bold, Lord God, and not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said. Let that be our cry. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Just say that in your heart. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to share the gospel. Tell somebody about Jesus. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I got a very important question for you today, and that is this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I don't know. I hope so. Wow, that's a pretty important consequence to not be sure about. You say, yeah, but does anybody, can you know? Yeah, the Bible says, I've written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? You know what? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Going to church doesn't make you Christian. Having a Bible doesn't make you Christian. Having Christian parents doesn't make you Christian. You have to be born again, which means there comes a time in your life whereby, as an act of your own free will, you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes, lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. We're going to take care of that. You might be here today and you say, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm really not where I want to be with God. Something you said today challenged me, and I want to get back on track. And I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up or come forward. But I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you mean business with God and you want tomorrow to be better than today. And either you're not sure if you died tonight, you go to heaven, and you want to pray that prayer. Or you want to get back on track with God and you want to step it up to the next level. You just raise your hand right where you're at. Every head bowed. Thank you. Anybody else? This is a new day. Thank you. Anybody else? New day. New day. Take a bold step. All right. Put your hands down. Pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them out. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God. Well, listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, on the connection card, there's a little box, and if you check it, I'm going to send you some special materials in the mail to help you with your Christian life. Also, at the end of the service, we're going to have prayer teams. At the end of the last song, the prayer teams are going to be up here to pray with anybody that needs prayer for anything. And if you don't have a Bible, they'll give you a Bible. We'll put your name in it. Very important that you have a Bible. Don't forget to put your connection cards in the offering basket as they come by. We're going to receive our offering. Here's my offering scripture, Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. That's Jesus talking. They will pour into your lap good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Give. Giving is not an end, it's a beginning. Give, it opens the door, it starts a process. Give, and it will be given unto you. There's three ways to give. We got it up here on the screen. You can give in the envelope. There's an envelope on a seat back in front of you. You can put it in the basket as it comes by. You can also give online through the website. You can also give by text. Text to give. If you're giving to the Bahama Relief Fund, note how much goes to that. If you're giving to the building fund, we're still paying off the cost of getting in this building. We could use help with that. So if you want to give to the building fund, mark, designate that over and above your regular tithes and offerings. Also, we have increased expenses in the new building. So if you just want to give toward that, just mark it building fund. Let's pray over this offering. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. Good seed into good soil. I ask you to take these gifts and multiply them, make them do more than we ever thought they could do. I ask you to give back to the giver a hundredfold return, according to what you promised your disciples in Mark chapter 10. I speak this blessing over your people now that you had Moses speak over your people years ago. I say they're blessed coming in and they're blessed going out. In the city, in the country, in their home, in the field. When they lie down, when they get up, blessed is their bread and their water, their basket, their bowl, their barn, their bank account, their job, their home, their car, their apartment, their animals. Everything that they have, I command the blessing of God upon them. I say if the enemy comes against them one way, he'll flee seven ways before their face. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against them in judgment, they will condemn with the word of God. They're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath.